Welcome back into In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, and I'm joined here today by Dr. Tim Schaefer, K-State Assistant Professor of Communication Studies and Assistant Director for the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy. I was up in Randolph this morning, and I was visiting with someone up there, and he's telling me about, filtering through some of these political ads, especially on social media. We're seeing more and more of those, and it's only going to continue. And, he was telling me about one, and we discussed a little bit about something that may have been said by former President Obama about Joe Biden, one of the candidates for president here. And it's interesting because while there's been a statement on it, I guess it was not entirely accurate what was being shared here, but we're going to see more and more of this. And how do you filter through some of the nonsense?
Yeah. So I think the ad in question, and I was actually running on, so it's on social media, YouTube, but it was also on television too, where it really, I think caused a lot of the alarm. A super PAC in support of President Trump called the Committee in Support of the President ran an ad with images, classic kind of images in the kind of the language of kind of a negative ad of Vice President Biden, with quotes critical of him, but underneath it, and this is really where the narrative, and this is, I think, to your point, really was coming up, the sense of President Obama being critical of him. Well, that was actually, they were true statements that President Obama said, not about Biden, but were in fact lifted from his 1995 books, Dreams of My Father, kind of superimposed upon that. And it's, I think it's one example of kind of the phase that we're entering to, unfortunately, right? I think this is NICD, the National Institute for Civil Discourse, for example, had supported candidates in previous races, local races and other places, to run positive campaigns, to where they opponents literally said, we're not going to attack each other. We're going to just run kind of on the platforms that we have. But as we look at the presidential race, we're seeing increasingly more of it, right, as the Democratic primaries are going on, right? We're about to have South Carolina in a couple days, Super Tuesday shortly thereafter, and seemingly it's going to be in the same vein as it's been. And so I think we're seeing more of that kind of fighting, but also, highlighting this this example that you've raised is really concerning, right? So how do we work through misinformation? How do these things get shared? They kind of spin out. In addition to kind of the manipulation that's now amazingly easy to do, cheap fakes and deep fakes, right, that where we can manipulate video to look as if people are speaking, right? Some of those are very poorly done. Those are the cheap fakes. But the deep fakes, I mean, they look and sound real, and it becomes very alarming and concerning, not just for attacking a potential opponent in a campaign, but just from a public information standpoint, thinking about coronavirus, for example, being able to be knowledgeable about that, understanding what's going on, what's not. This is where these things, if you want to be kind of malicious about it and have the capacity to create these images, this audio, that's really detrimental. And so having some basic knowledge about what is happening, we might want to attend to. I mean, there are classes and things, especially for senior citizens, to be able to be aware of this, because we often talk about young people and kind of social media. There's also a real concern generally across the board, but especially for those who are maybe not as familiar with some of the technology to say, ooh, that's not right. There are efforts like fact-checking and other things, but it's just not as built into the system. It's easier to put things out and then have it be kind of wrestled with rather than have it be kind of kept at a gate before it even gets there.
Well, the coronavirus thing is one thing I've been hearing more and more about, as is everybody. And it almost seems like maybe with this being election year that this is going to be politicized also here.
Yeah, which is the concern, right? There was, there was a public statement made yesterday by the president and kind of laying out the language going to attack this, which I think is appropriate, right? I think last time I was on, we were talking about, how do we not blow these things up to a point to where we scare people? But we also have, the appropriate knowledge, right? The fact that we have public health efforts for any kind of pandemic situations. Like, being able to be responsive to that is essential and kind of paramount. And at the same time, how do we kind of mitigate kind of the scare tactics and things that come into play here? Another concerning piece, though, is that, like, as we respond to that, like, how does it begin to kind of shape or determine kind of the response that we have, right? So a report out this morning was saying that the budget for coronavirus is actually going to take away. They're going to just kind of shift monies around, but, like, it's going to impact other people for heat and electricity for the winter weather, right? So these are the kind of things that we need to be able to understand and talk about. But how do we not politicize them in a way that is beyond kind of the provision of information about it? What are the approaches, the kind of public health practices we should have? Because there's not simply going to be a shot in anytime soon, right? So, and this seems to be happening at a scale that's going to be really significant. We want to be able to, especially for me, looking at public discourse and information, is how do we understand what's going on, the complexity of it, to an extent? What are the things we can do, but not sensationalize it so far beyond to where it really appropriately should be? And that's, you know, that's where I think, like, good journalism, good public information for informed, deliberative citizens becomes really important.
All right. We have a caller here who's got a question here. Let's go ahead and get to him. Good morning.
Good morning. Question for your guest. I'd like to ask you a question and get your opinion. What if we would pass a national law that says you have to tell the truth in print, radio, and television ads? How many ads would we have for these political people if it was punishable by law that you tell the truth?
Thanks. I imagine there'd be fewer, but substantively they'd be different, right? This is where I think the ability to have freedom of speech, I mean, this is right where it bumps up against the sense of freedom of speech and the very explicit intention in this country to say we don't want to put some boundaries around that. And at the same time, this is right, the problem, the traditional kind of gatekeepers of information, the stations, whether it's TV, radio, print, would have the ability to say, no, this is too far. This is beyond the kind of pale, right? We would allow kind of critiques and attacks, but it would not be to this threshold to where it's absolutely fabricated. What happens now is literally everybody has little devices that can create things, right? And not just at that discrete level, but from an organized standpoint, those who are explicitly interested in a particular position or a theme can do so with little recourse. Aside from, like, kind of the extreme of libel and others, like, there's largely a lot of freedom. And so, you know, to the caller's point, the sense that how do we do this? The ironic piece is that the moment you were to articulate something that, like let's have a law that says you can't do it, how do you need the infrastructure to do this? Like, right now we don't even have the FEC fully functioning as it should be to be able to be responsive to some of these kinds of questions for political reasons, as we're kind of talking about the politicization of things. But the idea that then the government, quote, the government becomes the determining factor of what is or isn't, right? Is that the FEC? I don't know. But, like, that sort of scenario goes against these kind of ingrained ideas in what it means to be the United States, and especially in a place of kind of free speech, kind of that opportunity to articulate, to assemble, all these types of things. With, I think this is the real challenge, right? We now have amazing access and kind of the ability to spread information, disinformation, misinformation very, very widely. You can come back and say, well, that wasn't true, right? That's happening right now as we're talking about that advertisement about Vice President Biden and the use of President Obama's words. That's not true, but it's out, right? It's there. And as it continues to kind of be circulated, that's going to further reinforce the original intent. It doesn't matter if the Washington Post had a front page story about it and if it's getting traction in the ways that we're talking about it. It doesn't matter, right? It's out. And that's the real, I think, concerning, one of the real concerning pieces that we have right now is for someone like myself, who's really interested in informed kind of public information, discussion grounded in that, and then we can move forward. This is the type of thing that just really sabotages, and that's deeply unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's only going to get worse, I have a feeling, as we get closer to the election here in November. But
the odds are it's not going to stop.
Yeah, because we've seen it every year. Mean ads seem to work.
Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is that they largely are beneficial to the extent to which they are, like, the purpose that they're serving, right? Mm-hmm. So it's advantageous to do it, right? This is where you have to be very explicit to say, I'm going to run a positive campaign, for example, and getting candidates, even in local elections, to sign on to that is very difficult. And those are the ones who aren't even buying lots of ads and doing all sorts of things. But it's even it's easier to critique the thing that you're opposed to than to support what you're for. Truly from like a, you know, kind of the assessment standpoint. And so it's not surprising that we would operate that way. But it's detrimental in so many ways, as we know.
All right. Well, we're out of time, Dr. Schaefer, but I appreciate you being here.
And it's good to be here.
We'll have you here again next month.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Stay tuned. We'll talk with Robin Cole next here from Pawnee Mental Health on InFocus.